Good morning. We pray, Lord, be with us as we conduct this devotion in your name. Amen. You'll be hearing a few things about Reformation during this week and continuing the next few days and into the weekend. And I trust that it's a good thing to hear, and that you'll feel that it's a good thing to hear. It's always a good thing to hear about how God arranges things for His Word to accomplish what He wants, regardless of the opposition. Today, I don't want to speak to you directly about the Reformation, but our reaction to the gifts of the Reformation, or the gift of the Reformation. As with all gifts, if you like them, you show them. You've often seen, for instance, a newly engaged girl, for instance, sticking out her hand or raising it up and seeing the diamond or whatever kind of ring it happens to be. You like it, you show it. Isn't it wonderful to be able to read the Scriptures? Isn't it wonderful to be able to talk to God directly? Isn't it wonderful to be free from the bonds of man's religion? Do we like that gift of the Reformation? Well, why be different about that one? You like it? Show it. Now, this gift is not like most. Most gifts, if you give them to someone, you don't have it anymore. But this gift, we can re-gift over and over again. We can re-gift it, but we still can have it ourselves. Now, Jesus even tells us, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Can we really understand what that means? Christ here is asking you to disciple the world. Now, that's quite a task to consider, to disciple the world. There's one thing you need to know immediately then is, where do we start? Where's the world? And I've said this before, we need to understand where the world is. And we had help with that over 20 years ago. Professor Rail gave a paper to the CLC conventions in which she discussed that very topic. And he used very familiar Bible stories. And he was able to point out that the world begins with you, then it goes to your surroundings, and then it goes even further into foreign lands, and so on. Now here are examples. In Acts 16, we see Paul, Silas, and Timothy sitting down and speaking to some women they happened to see by the river. People they just happened to see. People they just happened to run across. In Joshua 24, we hear Joshua speaking to the people saying that, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." People that were in trouble and needed direction. In 2 Samuel 12, we hear Nathan say to David, "You are the man." Someone involved in a terrible sin and was not repentant. Joseph in Genesis 40 testified about the power of his God to interpret dreams. People were whose spirits were down, downtrodden because of some dreams they did not understand. In 2 Kings, a young captive girl says, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Someone with a deadly disease that didn't know where to turn. In Acts 16, when the jail was thrown open, but the jailer saw that his prisoners did not take advantage of that and try to escape, Paul spoke the word of the Lord to him when he asked what he had to do to be saved. Just a very discouraged person, ready to take his own life. Acts 8 gives us the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, and Philip expounded to him the scriptures because he was not sure about all the meaning. A person confused about the scriptures. A person because maybe he had some previous misunderstandings or false teaching. Each of these stories gives us examples of where the world starts or where the world is and where it might go from there. Well, we can always say, that won't work for me. That won't do any good because I don't quite know how to do it. Well, do you think the people in these Bible stories had some doubts? Of course they did. They may have had doubts, but their faith overcame the fear and they spoke. And what was the result? Well, Lydia's heart was open, and she and all the members of her household were baptized. The people said to Joshua that they would serve the Lord. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with some Greeks and some prominent women. David confessed his sin against the Lord. The jailer and his family were baptized. The Ethiopian was baptized by his request. The word of the Lord is powerful. The Reformation was and is a great gift to you from our God. With that gift of the gospel, telling us of the free forgiveness of sins, comes a responsibility. Share it with others. Things may not always work the way we think they should, but they do always work out as God wants them to, and that will be for our good. So how do we look at the Reformation? And how do we react to it? As Christians, we can only be thankful to our God and then be ready to share that gospel with others. We close with the prayer of hymn 781. 781, stanzas 1 and 5.